Now then, boys, welcome to 28 episodes in. That was a really bad intro. Welcome to the 28th episode of Sitting on the Fence. Connor, how was Kempton, first of all?
It's a weird race course, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in the middle of like a Howells Interstate sort of thing. Bit rough.
It's got plenty of history, obviously. I was quite interested, so I read into it. And the change of layouts of the course, the new, well, not really new now, but the 20-odd-year-old artificial service, now they've changed to National Hunt. Mm. Now it's going to close down, actually, and they announced it in 2017 to close in 2021, and they're going to move the King George and basically all the big races that they had to Sandown, and they're going to build that. Actually, it's a shock, yeah, to replace the artificial service all weather at Kempton. Mm. He's going to build that new market.
Oh, that one, like, straight line?
He's going to build an artificial surface at Newmarket.
Oh.
But obviously, we're 3 years on from that now, and Kempton still survives.
Which is good. It's nice. Yeah, it's actually quite nice.
It's definitely got a place, hasn't it? I struggle to get enthusiastic about all the races in general. I think that's probably my problem, but...
Yeah.
It's a nice enough race course, I suppose. It's a bit far for us. Not somewhere I'd pick to go... If I was just going to watch racing, it's a bit far away for us. It doesn't have enough pull for me, but...
Yeah, like I was saying to you on the course, the only reason why I'd actually go... Obviously, it's different because we were there in Owners and Trainers today, following Rathbone, which we'll get onto in a little bit. But the only reason why I'd probably go is the King George.
Good on Boxing Day, but it's a bit far for us. I actually heard people around the course saying it's like the best course I've ever been to, and it's like well up on the list, but... I don't know where they've been going fucking racing, but...
I'll tell you what was nice. The bit around the parade room was really, really nice.
Yeah, it's definitely got its points, and it's...
It's not the best I've ever been
it's
to.
Not
no
like, it's not a race because a lot of things have just been throwing up just to like, haggle loads of all weather fixtures or whatever.
Yeah.
You can tell it's been there for a long, long time and whatever else, but you can tell as soon as you go in and you start walking around Kempton, it's all pitched for National Hunt Racing, isn't it?
Mm.
Every photo on the walls, National Hunt Racing.
Yeah.
Just like the old weather's there, just to make it pay for itself, really.
And Kempton, I think, is where you get really close to like the big names. So, obviously, I've got a good few videos of the likes of Oisin Murphy, Sean Levy, Will Buick, David Probert, all the big jockeys just coming past when they're into the parade ring. I thought it was really good. Also, we had Jamie and Safi Osborne stood next to us at the bar as well, which was quite interesting. I think James Fenshaw, I can't remember his name, was stood next to me as well at the bar. Jamie Osborne loves his beer, doesn't he?
Yeah,
loves his beer.
They seem to all love it. It's the first time I've been, and maybe I'd grow a bit more affiliation to it if I went regularly. But
yeah,
as far as all weather racing goes, it's I'll probably are just below Subtle.
Just below Subtle.
Yeah, I really like.
Really?
Subtle. Yeah, I really like Subtle.
Subtle's nice, obviously it's quite close. Maybe there's a little bit of bias in there. Subtle's one of my first tracks I've ever been to, and I rate that quite highly. But in terms of overall facilities, in terms of Owners and Trainers, I do really like Kempton. It's up there for me, but like you said, it's a bit too far to go for your standard at all weather meet. It was £25 to get into it as well.
It was, yeah. It's a bit pricey for all the fixture. I could maybe understand if it jumps racing. You sort of pay a premium.
I couldn't tell if it was actually quite a good price. Obviously, you could have probably got it cheaper if you paid before. Might have not been too bad. Like £20 maybe,
I think
not too
bad. You
sort
of go to like Subtle or Wolf for sort of £14, can't you? I mean, I know.
Yeah. But Kempton's
I know we're talking about like £11, but.
Kempton's quite a big name. Like, obviously, quite a big named race course.
Yeah,
so it's
well.
So maybe £20, if you're paying earlier, like the early bird sort of thing, paying £20 probably not too bad. But yeah, like you said, for all weather, it's maybe a bit steep, but you get to see some really nice horses. We saw a really nice horse that we'll get onto, which I really thought did do a bit. But right, let's just get straight in then. Are we covering every race, or are we just covering?
We'll set out what we're doing. So obviously, we'll just come back from Kempton. Long trip for us.
Got the whiskey out. If you can hear that.
But we've obviously got working weeks next week, and we're going to cover Aintree for you. So to break it up for us, we're going to do the first 2 days now. Worth noting, we've only got the entries now, but in a lot of races, you can either tell what's going to run and what isn't. So we'll go off that, and we'll have a quick chat first about the morning meet at Chelmsford on Saturday.
Yeah, so you pointed this out to me in the car on the way back. This will be on the 13th of April, which is Grand National Day. We won't be there at Chelmsford. We will be at the Grand National, but it's just the biggest race, I think, in the world. But yeah, you pointed this out to me. It's really interesting that they're actually morning racing at Chelmsford. You go for it.
We scored the start at 10, pretty much. And I sort of saw it. I don't know how I come across it, but I think it was on the website actually for some reason. But anyway, and it starts at 10, finishes at about 1:30, somewhere like that. And they're offering to different degrees of what you pay, but I think the standard's sort of like £70 or £80, and you get a breakfast and cocktails at a table.
That's what you want in the morning.
So you could sort of go to Chelmsford and stay for the national, which would be really good, I think.
Maybe that's something we should do next year then.
The price of your national ticket, you can get a ticket at Chelmsford and a breakfast and a couple of drinks. It's not a bad value, really.
No, when you speak of Chelmsford, you really do put them in the likes of Redcar and Catterick and these sort of races. But, I mean, what they're doing there is completely unique. I've never seen it before.
No, it's the first time I've done it.
For the restaurant and cocktails, it's not the worst price in the world. Don't get me wrong, it's still steep, but it's...
That's normal for a race course. You expect to pay at any sporting event. Mm. I mean, you think the time we've been to Aintree, we've had a couple of pints, and we've bought a bit of food. We're at £100.
Yeah, also, £7.80 for a pint at Kempton is ridiculously expensive. But for a Star of Browning, which was flat as well, it's just... They really need to sort that out, I think.
I find that all difficult race courses are. Arc are really, really good, and only the trainers like that. You find that at all sort of jockey club race courses. I don't know. I mean, it's obviously a huge institution, and everyone has their own ideas on it. I mean, if you go to York, owners, they're like the best. Get full Sunday roast and everything.
Yeah, they look after you, don't they? Especially York as well, which is just independently owned.
But an Arc's pretty good as well. I mean, you're playing for small money or whatever, but that's pretty good. And I suppose everyone has it their own way. I mean, if you went to Newbury, they'd have it different, and then Ascot's got it different. I assume. So,
well, we've been to Ascot. We've only been
other than trainers. Doing it like different ways, but it's been a good day. Not somewhere I'll go back to in a massive hurry, but I will go back.
Yeah, we'll end up back there hopefully for the King George.
But to get back to the point, that Chelmsford thing, it's quite appealing actually.
Yeah, it looks quite nice. I mean, the pictures look quite nice of it as well. Mm. But yeah, racing in the morning is just alien to me. And I dare say what time we'd have to set off from.
I think they're playing on the right sort of note though, because to be honest, they are fully aware that I'd probably say 80 to 85% of people who go racing will be having a few pints.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So they're sort of saying like, come with us in the morning and have a day of it, and you can watch the national in the afternoon.
So while Connor sorts his dog out, Chelmsford might be one we watch next year. Maybe we might attend. We might have to start at like 4 or 5 in the morning for it, but I think it'd be worth it.
That before.
Yeah, it could do actually. Yeah,
could do Lingfield or something if that's on. I don't know.
Yeah, that'll be your last London one to tick off. I've still got quite a few of them to tick off. So yeah, let's just get straight into this tip. It's going to be a long podcast, so we'll get straight into the tips. We'll go through the whole card, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty short today with Kelso being cancelled.
Yeah, so it was just Kempton on today. Obviously, we had Utoxeter, but they were not free to wear, so we didn't really tip anything for that. I got the first winner in the first race, but it was quite a fancy favourite, so I'm not going to really speak about that too much. But for the first race was Class 2. £10,000 to the winner for Class 2 is just criminal, but that would be another story for another podcast.
It was a restricted novice stakes, so wasn't it?
Still £10,000, still pitiful, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but the winner was... Well backed and went on a slight drift before the off, but Oshie Murphy couldn't have timed the ride better.
No, Oshie Murphy, great ride from him. Hayley Turner coming second, and Harry did. That was quite one of fancies of mine. My tip was we didn't tip anything.
No, we didn't.
I backed Cody Lyon, who's pretty much. There were three horses that set off as joint favourite: first, second, and sixth. And I backed the sixth. So
yeah, Grand Lad. Ran really well on the drift all day long. Set off well when the prize came out. He was the fav, and he beat him 1¾ lengths in the end. And he ran really, really well actually.
Yeah, a bit keen in the start, but Cody Lyon problem was just pulled too hard. Always going to help not go against him there. And then Kieran Schumacher just said the court race too free. So yeah, sometimes you just get that. I mean, it was the same with Grand Lad as well. Same sort of. Description on the Racing Post, but that favourite was quite impressive actually. Well, the winner was quite impressive, so was second. Even third place, you look at 80-1, that's a massive prize for Harry Eustace. Wouldn't be too disappointed with losing by only a neck to first, so not well beat whatsoever. Pierluigi Germano's a nice jockey, actually. He's seems to be quite a nice lad in the parade ring as well. Got third in the last race, but we'll get back to that in a second. Five past two, which was the was race two. You got the winner in this one.
I did in the end, yeah.
You backed Adelaide on the day. Go for it.
It wasn't too much of tips, but I've seen a bit of money coming from the more you looked into and the more appealing you become. Especially when you've seen Buick booked as well, you just think that's eye-catching for a start. And what a ride. Time to perfection. Looked at one point like he might get beat by the Fav, but yeah, battled back strongly. So yeah, I also think that Rose Prick ran really well. Gave a bit of a solid mention
again,
to that.
Another big prize there at 50-1 coming third.
Yeah, yeah. Brilliant. About 8-1 during the day.
Mm.
So yeah, she ran really, really well.
Yeah.
And, my tip, Mystic Pearl, I don't know where to go with that anymore.
Probably nowhere.
I followed her a bit last year and I don't know. It's not happened in Dubai. It's not happened here. She wasn't beaten too far, nearly four lengths in the end, but it's enough to make you wonder exactly what's been going on.
Yeah. So I'll get into the personal. So I backed Julia Augusta and I really like this horse on paper quite. Again, one of that just kind of stuck out to me on the race card. Started off really well, actually. Started off in touch with the leaders, but James Doyle just kind of dropped back a little bit on the horse and just kind of found himself in traffic, never got going in the final few furlongs. And then if you're stuck in traffic at that point, you've pretty much lost your race. But weren't far beaten at 1.5 lengths. I'll be keeping my eye on this one because with a clear run, I think that race could have been a bit closer, maybe second. Don't think would have beaten Adelaide. Quite a nice finish there. Really powerful horse, that one, towards the end. And then my tip, again, Enola Gray, just drifted all day. Didn't have a great start, was in the rear, never thought made any sort of impression. So, yeah, another dud there. I think that's pretty much the story of our tips today.
Story of our weather in general.
Yeah, really. Pretty much. We didn't get a single winner after this, but we'll get into that. Oh, excuse me. We've also got to cover the race at Chelmsford as well. So, we'll go on to the 240 at Kempton.
The winner was... won really well, actually.
Yeah, Neil Callan. Very nice
top,
win.
Top jockey, Neil Callan.
He is, yeah. He's very good. I backed him later on in the day, but that did not go too well. I really like Killybeg's Warrior as well. That was a very nice finish there. Yeah, your dad backed him each way, so not too bad there. I think he probably got a profit from the day there. Just never trying to open that door. But yeah, James Doyle again. Always just seems to be in the running there. But
monster effort at Star 14.
Oh yeah, 100%. And we'll get onto a horse later who won from Stall 14, Duty of Care, under Safi Osborne. My tip come third. Not third, sorry. That was Holly Doyle. My tip come fourth, All Peculiar. Drifted in and out of 14 to 16 to 1. Saw a bit of 12 to 1 at the start of the day when I had a look. Started off at 14, David Probert. Well beaten in the end, but maybe, again, one to watch. It doesn't help that he was drawn in the car park, Stall 13. You've got to be quite a special horse to win from that sort of stall. Killybeg's Warrior looks like to be quite a special type. Looked too keen to start off with. Was up there with the leaders, but again, when you pretty much keen from a fast stall, it's going to be tough to actually get back. Didn't find any extra in the last furlong or so. What was your tip in this one, mate?
Cannon Rock come sixth, beating 4.5 lengths, but.
I thought this was going to actually win.
He lost two lengths at the start as well.
Mm.
So, getting him two lengths back, God knows what could happen. But definitely would have been in the picture. But he ran well, just broke the start. James Owen, I'm a massive fan of James Owen, actually. Dual purpose.
Didn't I tell you about a few months ago how much I like James Owen?
He could be a big trainer for a trainer that starts bringing flat horses over to jumps and doing well with them.
We'll be talking about one that's actually raced. I think it might be the next race.
And I really, really like the look of it. I know it's favourite, Alderovian, but looked to be going really, really strongly.
Mm.
Really, really strongly. And then just had nothing,
yeah.
Nothing to give, I don't think. So,
Sort
of story. I'm just looking forward to getting these Oliver races out of the way and back on the turf.
Back on the turf. That's where the real flat racing starts. Yeah. Speaking of Safi Osborne and that Stall 14 win, it was Duty of Care at 6-1. Really impressive ride, this one, actually. Didn't even start off that great. from start 14, and somehow clawed his way back. A powerful finish. Saffield's one even eased off, won by two and three quarters of length. So absolutely pissed it, to be honest. My tip was we didn't tip.
Sweet fantasy, no?
I actually don't know. Let me just have a quick look. My tip was, yeah, sweet fantasy. Tipped at 10-3, it set off 12-1. Seen the drift all day long. So I thought, you know what? 14-1 the time I actually had a bet on it. I thought, far too big of a price to take up. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to go in. Just back it on the toe because it seemed to be drifting all day. I don't know what happened. Really don't know what happened with this one. It looked like it was going to just cruise it. And
I think what I put it down to personally, we looked to be in absolute cruise control. And the race looked to be going at a sort of regular pace. So you think you'd be able to quicken up off the back of that. But when you look
really
back,
one pace in the end.
When you look back off at the times, it was actually going really slow. And I think that just allowed the ones behind them to pick them up.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's what that was in the end.
Kempton's a really weird track for that. So if the it seemed to favour the if it's quite a strong gallop, it favours the front runners 100%. If the horse in front takes a really strong pace and can maintain it, it's the winner. But if these really really slow paced races, it's anyone's race at that point, I think. Which makes Kempton quite a fascinating track.
I mean, on the times, this race was 3.27 seconds slow. So that does suggest that there was going quite slow.
Slow, yeah. You told me it was quite a big, quite a fast gallop, but
it looked it, didn't it?
It
looked to be quite a decent gallop, yeah, but I think that's just allowed. I mean, Duty Care was the closest one to Sweet Fantasy, and it just, like you say, it maintained the gallop, quickened up,
yeah,
did the job, unlike Sweet Fantasy. If Sweet Fantasy could do that, it'd have won. But yeah, it just that race was just seemed to be slow. My other tip, Tritonic, actually ran pretty good.
Yeah, it was a good ride from Tritonic, yeah, actually.
Into fifth, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just it kept on. It's a jumper as well. It'll probably show up at some point on flat seed and win a decent handicap.
Yeah, I had another bet as well, Spirit Mixer, but just made no sort of impression. Which surprised me. But I say surprising. It's not been that horse has not been in the best sort of form. So maybe that's just one to watch. Maybe not to have a little bet on next time out. I think there might be a day for that horse, but we don't know yet. That's the end of our tips, but we'll carry on going through. Devoted Queen, well, we'll get on to the next race in a little bit, but I thought this was going to be the one where it can't lose and it will be the most impressive ride. I was proven wrong, but did just enough in the end. I think Marcella ran a very good race there in second place. Oshie Murphy aboard that one. Andrew Balding. But yeah, this Devoted Queen. 2 from 2 now. Two runs, I think. Last run was at Newmarket, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Newmarket in October. They saved it for April. She looks a good filly. Looks a very good filly.
Yeah, I just think, again, the race was, it's over a mile, the race was 3.64 seconds slow. So allowed her to really quicken up off that slow pace.
Yeah, pretty much second last.
Yeah, just allowed her to quicken up and did the job, really.
Yeah, from stall 5, the widest of the stalls. Probably could have won a bit better, if maybe drawn better, but did the job in the end. And then the next race, well, this horse I think is going to be one to watch for Charlie Appleby. It's Notable Speech. 3 from 3, all 3 wins coming from Kempton. Every time, really, really impressive. Seems a bit of a Kempton merchant at the minute. But possibly may take this one abroad, I think. But I think, even like you said, held up in last place. The race, the pace was slow. And just seemed to just...
No good. We're getting some fighting going on between the dogs.
Getting some scraps.
Yeah, you carry on, I'll go sort this out.
Yeah, so Notable Speech, really, really impressive. 1 by 2 lengths over Valvano. My pick was Persica in this race, which came 3rd, only 2.5 lengths behind the winner. So not too well beat. Nice to see Sean Levy back as well. But I think Notable Speech, 3 from 3, looks really, really interesting. And definitely one to keep your eye on. I think possibly entered for one of the Guineas meetings. I'm not too sure. I believe it is the Guineas. I think it's the 2000 Guineas he's entered for. But yeah, looks a really, really impressive colt there. Out of the Bowie as well. So you guaranteed a good horse there.
Guaranteed a mile, yeah.
Yeah, and to speak about Native Warrior as well, who's second favourite. Really did fancy this one, actually. Just didn't kick on. Really didn't kick on.
I mean, you look at sort of the last runs, he's going to beat Cuban Tiger well. The last time at Kempton, a decent race, worth 31,000 pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
So he's doing it. He looks a pretty decent horse. I mean, the last time he won in February, the Road Kentucky Derby sort of race. So
definitely want to keep your eye out for the all weather.
For him, yeah, I want to see him again.
I want to see him on the turf. I want to see him on the turf. See how he fares with the turf.
I want to see him again. Yeah.
Yeah, because there won't be many races for him in the all weather and in after the flat season if he wants to carry on riding. But like I said, if they want to take him winter racing, I think internationally going to Maidan or even going to America could possibly be a move for this one. And then we'll go on to the most important race for you, Connor. It is the 4:55. We'll go on to your horse first. So, Rathbone, what was your thoughts on it?
He ran well first time out. He's beaten quite a long way, 12 lengths, but sort of expected it. I don't think he'd be fully tuned, really. He's the sort of horse that gets fitter with his running. Danny Muscat said, he said he was going pretty well, then got tied in a bit of second wind. I personally thought he got stuck in a bit of traffic as well, but could definitely take a lot of positives out of it. He's still got love for the game. He's getting a bit older, but I think there's going to be a couple of good days this year. Hopefully, the more the better. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, it's we look forward to Donny or somewhere at the end of this month. We'll go for that.
Beach stable mate, Good Earth. So that's,
yeah, he did Good Earth. Set off like a bullet. He was very fresh and very keen. But they'll come on a lot from that race. Nice soft, nice sound surface from it, at least this time. Better than running them in an absolute bog. So yeah, a lot of positives to take from it. I think he might have been able to get a bit closer if he went boxed in, but not 100%, so you just don't know, do you?
Yeah, it was a quick pace as well. You said it was the quickest pace of the year, the whole day.
Yeah, it was the fastest race of the day. It was 6 seconds fast. 0.6 seconds fast, sorry. So that tells you that
everything you need to know.
Every other race was slow. And this was fast.
Yeah.
So yeah, the winner Ferris, that's a nice horse.
Yeah.
That is just a nice horse. It's
yeah.
Well, it's definitely, I think, got a decent handicap in this year.
We had a word with David Probert after the race, and he said it was quite a quick gallop for these horses, and you could tell some of them actually struggled towards the end. But I think Intervention ran a good one in second as well. I mean, well beat, but this winner won very impressively.
I think
actually,
what you can take out of it is that the fittest horses in the race have gone on and sort of done what they should do.
Exactly. These winners and these places have ran all winter there. They're going to be in tip-top shape. Good Earth and Rathbone definitely going to be struggling after not even 200 days on the track. Seems like years, but obviously Rathbone's preferred surface is not the all-weather. We all know that. So, like we said, just hope this rain dies away. Good sign today. It weren't raining at all today, so which was good. We just can't have it rain. And then if it stays sunny, there'll be a few good days there.
Yeah, he's ran well, really. All things considered,
he's done us proud, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's ran really well, actually. He was sort of blowing out his ass a bit, but he's going to be in.
He's got to be, yeah.
Just see how we get him on tomorrow and in the next couple of days, and you know, if everything's okay, then we'll hope the rain stops away and we'll aim for Donny or Beverly, wherever it may be, wherever ground's best.
Yeah, 100%. And that was Kempton, in a nutshell. Yeah. Not great on the winner's side, but it was still a class day out. It always is at the races. No matter where you go, it's always a good day. But Kempton, I won't rate it in the top, the best I've ever been, but I'll rate it middle to high, I think. I think that's kind of fair. It's one I'd go to again, but not in a hurry.
No.
It's a bit too far away to keep going. And I assume you'll want to be talking about the Kentucky Derby trial at Chelmsford.
Yeah, just got to touch on that.
Yeah. Capulet was very, very disappointing. Seemed half asleep in the parade ring.
One-paced. Very one-paced.
Very one-paced.
Don't know if they ain't got him up quite fit enough or whatever it may be. It's sort of the story you'll keep telling with these flat horses for another month or so. How fit they are, what they've been doing, what they haven't been doing, if they're ready, if they're not.
Yeah.
But yeah, this Bracken's Laugh pissed up, really.
Yeah, very good win. I had a little bet on Orne as well. We tipped him, didn't we? So he comes second.
He's 2-3 now. So, you know, and it's the last time running a Grade 1 fillies race at St. Cloud. You know, and this was like October time. So, behind some nice horses.
Los Angeles, Illinois. Illinois runs tomorrow, I think.
These are nice horses. So, yeah, you can sort of, if you look back at it, you maybe should have backed him. But
at St. Cloud, it's not St. Cloud. St. Cloud, mate.
It's not St. Cloud.
I know, St. Cloud. We always have this debate. It's St. Cloud. But, yeah, no, I think that's a horse that we can definitely look out for in the future.
Got loads of ability by the looks of it.
Where's he from? Is he Zoffany?
Yeah, he'll stay then.
Cost him 200,000 guineas.
200,000 guineas.
Almost made half of it back.
Yeah, well, he'll definitely get the mile.
The Moore Ryan family having some nice horses in the yard with Fast or Slow and Bracken's Laugh and many others, to be fair. I can't think of any off the top of my head.
To me, he sort of strikes me as a horse that will get up to sort of a mile and a quarter, I'd think.
Yeah, I think so. You'd probably get that trip easy. What's today's racing? Obviously, we've got tomorrow. I don't know whether we're actually racing tomorrow. Bath and Carlisle, I think.
Yeah, decent cards.
It's a decent card at Bath. I'll be having a look at that. We'll probably be having a bet. Or maybe I will. Don't know yet. Might do. But yeah, let's just get straight into it then. Aintree. Looking forward to this one, actually. It gets quite overshadowed because of the Grand National. I think the first 2 days are just as good as the third day. Very much, like I said, very much overshadowed by the Grand National. And there's these horses coming from Cheltenham to Aintree. Paul Nicholls will be sending a lot more of his yard over.
Yeah, last year I actually enjoyed the Aintree Festival more than the Cheltenham Festival. I loved watching the Aintree Festival. I don't know. Just once the first day got going, I just got right in the groove of it. Loved it.
We'll see how it compares to the Cheltenham Festival. Obviously, we're going for the third day. We're going for the Grand National Day. I might be going for the first day because I've got... I'm now part of the... Well, I'm a racehorse owner now, technically. Basically, I've signed up to the Elite Racing Club just to dip my toes in, I guess, to see what this owning is about. So I've entered the draw. If I get it, I'm off. If I'm not, I'm at work. So here's what it is. So I might just request a day off just to watch it. So, oh well, here's what it is. Hopefully I go. But I'll be mentioning that horse when we get to the race. So... We're tipping every race, aren't we? Because I've got tips for every race.
Yeah, we're going to try our best, obviously worth noting.
Apart from the Fox Hunters.
We ain't got all the weights and stuff, and we ain't got all the decks, so we'll give you a
rough idea of what we like.
As good a view as we can.
There's a few horses that are entered for two or more races, so if I say a horse that in a race and it goes on to another race, hopefully the next horse that I pick is going to be in that race anyway, so I've tried to pick two for each race. So we'll go on to the first then, which is the Manifesto Novices Chase. Starting off the festival with a Grade 1. I'll let you go first, Connor, then, mate. What are you thinking?
I actually really like the chances of the Founder 50. Again.
State your case, mate.
Well, he just ran really well in the Arkle. Yeah, really, really well. Thought he was unlucky not to win, really.
Was entered for Fairy House, but got pulled out, I think. That's
sorry. Sorry. But I just think, to be fair, it was a poor Arkle, but being beat by Gillet Warrior is, you know, when he's on a going day, he's near as unstoppable.
Yeah.
And if he can get him to jump left-handed, I think he's one of the best horses of the bout, to be honest.
Gillet Warrior.
And it's like any trip as well. I'm pretty certain you can get him like 3 mile out of him. But... Yeah, I really like Founder 50. I actually really like Corbett's Cross. Double entered, so I don't know where he's going to go, but he absolutely pissed up in the National Hunt Chase.
Yeah.
And there's some nice horses in there, like Apple Away as well. And a lot of people talking about Apple Away as a sort of graded horse, sort of well in there. So, yeah.
Very smart mare.
Yeah, and definitely worth mentioning Jello as well. But the one I wanted to point out a huge prize was Imagine. Not so certain it's been double... No, it's only got... The one entry, it got sold from the Caldwell Construction sale, cost a lot of money to take out their yard. I think it's €320,000. So, a lot of money. If you look back at his form when he'd been winning, he'd been beating some nice types. Lucid Dreams is a decent horse, very consistent. But if you look back further through the form, you'll find, I know the way you're thinking at Fairy House, that thing fucking flew home at Cheltenham.
One of the most impressive performances.
Yeah. And there's Pinkerton in that race as well. Decent horse. I really like his chances at around 25 to 1.
Mm.
If he does 33 indeed,
to 1, mate.
33 to 1. If he does indeed show up, he's got a decent bit of form in the book.
Mm.
And he's like third behind Grinchclair West. You know, all the form is there. Some really, really nice horses.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in his younger days, got beat by Hunter Jean. At the time, he was a decent horse as well. So, yeah, I'd definitely be quite keen on him.
Mm.
And if you want to go to his most recent run, got beat by Spillane's Tower as well and won the Fairy House Gold Cup. Blood Destiny in there as well. So, yeah. And to be honest, if you like the look of that horse, I mean, I'm giving you plenty of horses here, but there's a huge... If you rate that race and the horse in that race, Silent Approach is 50 to 1, and that come second in that race. Or third
we'll,
in that race.
We'll get a mare's allowance as well.
Yeah, so... Plenty to choose from. I'm giving you some options because we're not here, but I will... If Imagine and Silent Approach both go, I'll bat them both.
Each way.
It will depend on the price.
Yeah.
Once the decks come out, but... Yeah, definitely a big mention to Corbett's Cross and Founder 50.
Yeah.
I can't... But like to say, I'll have a win bet on Founder 50, see where Corbett's Cross goes, and I'll have an each-way bet on Imagine and Silent Approach.
Mm. No, I like your thinking there, because one of the horses I really like is, again, Corbett's Cross. Really impressive at Cheltenham. Coming again.
Flew them, then it's quickened.
Oh, yeah.
Quickened.
It left MC Gardens in the absolute.
I told you that was my favourite performance at Cheltenham.
Yeah. I think there was a few better, but I think they definitely top three.
That's my favourite one because, like, Ballyburn and that, I think you can argue what's he beat. I think you can make an argument for that. But Corbett's Cross, you know there's some real top quality horses in there.
Yeah.
And he just, over that final flight, he just fucking kicked away and he was gone.
Yeah, he's pretty much gone. And that's exactly what I've tipped him. That's why I'm...
Some horses can be really, really... Like, they look like they're winning really well. And it's not always the case. But with him, he just seemed to go into, like... They was all in that third gear and he just knocked straight into sixth.
Yeah.
And he was away and gone.
I mean, that last fence, wow, that was impressive.
And he just... The way he quickened... I know we're talking about Cheltenham again now, but that was definitely one of my favourite performances.
Mm. Yeah, he was definitely up there for me as well. Really like Corbett's Cross. Again, unlucky to fall second time out as well. But I think the way, like you said, the way this flew home, it's just it catches your eye at 8 to 1.
Sorry to keep interrupting your tipping bit, but
yeah, you bastard. No, joking.
now we're talking about Corbett's Cross. His jumping improved like tenfold as well.
Yeah, I think you just got to put that previous Shelton performance to kip, because that was just a one-off. Like, as bad as it sounds, it can happen to any horse, and it, like, something can freak a horse out. And again, that whatever happened there just cannot be explained, I don't think. But like I said, he made amends for it at Cheltenham last time out, and exactly why I'm going to be liking him again. 8 to 1's a brilliant price if he goes. I'm not going to be betting him on him just yet because he's obviously entered in a few races, hence why I'm trying to back 2 here. Obviously, nothing needs to be said about Grey Dawn and Ginny's Destiny. They'd speak for themselves how good they are. I think Grey Dawn could easily win this. But I'm going to have a little mention to Tamuras here. Mm. Really, really like this horse, actually. It's quite a consistent type. Comes second, in the year of 2024. 2023, after wind surgery, first and obviously the first run since wind up. Never really the most effective. It's just been getting better and better since Windup.
Did it win the Cello?
I'm
pretty certain it did.
It beat the likes of General Officer at Aintree, Sandown, it won
Newbury.
Let me have a look.
No, it didn't. I'm thinking of the other one. I'm thinking of Hermes Allen. What I'm thinking of.
Yes, Hermes Allen did win that.
Quite same colours.
If I can remember very, very impressively as well.
In the rain.
Yeah, in the mud. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, same colours, isn't it? That's what I'm thinking of. Same colours.
Yeah, I mean, Tamuras will go on this ground. It's just whether he's good enough to compete with the likes of Grey Dawn, and we know he's unbelievable. Entered, I think, for the Gold Cup next year, as well as the Ginny's Destiny, who is at this point, a Cheltenham specialist. Probably the reason why I'm not backing Ginny's Destiny or not giving her a mention is because I'm uncertain if she'll go at any other track, because a former Cheltenham, you cannot deny, is unbelievable. But you look at some of the previous runs, I mean, you go back to Huntingdon, you go back to Warwick, second and third, not disrespected by any means, but last time out at Aintree in October, came fourth. And at Aintree, I'd like to have a horse who's actually got quite a bit of consistency around Cheltenham. And I just think with Tamara as course and distance winner, I think each way might get you a bit of a place there. He just saved it. He's just pouring his drink and he's pretty much spilt half of it. But Tamiras I like, and I do like your two big prize. Obviously, we love a big prize on this podcast.
I think
Imagine in Silent Approach. I think
the thing to mention about the two at the top of the market is definitely that we've seen them race each other a couple of times now, and the first time the big argument to be made that Grey Dawning would have won that with a better jump at the last. The first time at Cheltenham.
I mean, Ginny's Destiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first time. Mm-hmm. And I just think that knowing that he probably should have won the first time, that should have been twice now Grey Dawning's beat him.
Ginny's Destiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Grey Dawning won, didn't he?
Yeah, Grey Dawning's won, yeah.
Yeah, so that's been twice at Grey
Dawning. So it's pretty much been 1-1, isn't it?
Yeah. Raced twice. Given Grey Dawning, Ginny's Destiny should have won. No, Grey Dawning should have won the first time.
When we were there.
Yeah, it was a terrible, 100%. Terrible, terrible jump from Grey Dawning to last.
Yeah.
So Grey Dawning should have beat him twice.
Yeah, so it should be 2-0 to Grey Dawning.
Yeah, so I think we know the best horse thing is what I'm trying to say.
I was about to say, I was going to ask you a question, who do you think is the best horse, Grey Dawning?
I think we know who the best horse is.
I think it's Grey Dawning.
Yeah, exactly, isn't it?
Yeah.
He should have won beaten twice, and that's enough for me.
Every time Ginny's Destiny goes to Cheltenham, I think you've got to respect him, because, I mean, that form around Cheltenham, three wins
he's
on the balance.
He's got four around every way, he's brilliant, Grey Dawning. Proper jumper as well.
But I think what he'll be known for is Cheltenham... is Cheltenham form, obviously, doing it on the big stage. And obviously, he's got another big stage here. Again, you can look at like the likes of Founder 50 and L.A. Day Toms. You could probably put L.A. Day Toms' Cheltenham form probably just as a bit of a one-off. Obviously, I reckon Danny... it might actually be Paul Tannen running that one, because I don't think there's any other Mullins horses. Oh, no, there's Embassy Gardens, who probably will be Mullins' first choice. Oh, yeah, Mullins' first choice. But... you can even look at the likes of Nickelback as well. Honestly, you can make a case for most of these.
I backed Nickelback when he won, if you remember.
Yes, I remember that. He was on the podcast.
He was the outsider a lot, wasn't he? Uh-huh. And he did win. I just think things have got to go right for him. And he needs a strong pace. And he needs to lead.
Yes, that probably might be the tactic they might have to go with.
But I know at Sandown last time, I said, I think that he might just get a... Do you remember what I said? I think he might just get a pretty soft lead and then just be able to quicken away, and it's exactly what happened. But that on that time, on that day, sorry, in the Silly Elves at Sandown, the time was like nearly 6.5 seconds, well, it was over 6.5 seconds slow. So that just tells you exactly what I thought would happen. To go quite a steady, a decent gallop, but not massive, and he'd just be able to take him up from the front.
Yeah.
So, but he's beat Jello in that lot, and Le Patron, and Colonel Harrod, they're all good horses.
Yeah, very good horses. A few entered in that race, actually.
Yeah, I just think he sort of wants a bit better ground. I know he's won on soft, but I wouldn't be so certain about this sort of soft at Aintree.
Mm. Yeah.
But anyway, he's definitely got a chance of cracking off.
Most of these horses have got a chance, I think. Yeah. It's really, really competitive. And I hope a lot of these horses don't drop out.
Yeah.
Because that'll make for a very disappointing.
I mean, if you've been listening to us for long enough, you'll sort of know that when it comes to the festivals, I will play on big prices. Because... one or two and we'll come in.
Yeah,
you just got to pick the right ones.
Just, without a doubt, yeah.
You just got to pick the right ones. So I think Imagine and Silent Approach and that could be definitely a huge shout and a massive price at the minute.
Yeah. That was a lot of time on the first race. We've got quite a few to cover. I'm waiting for my race post to load. It's loaded. It's the Juvenile Hurdle, the second race at Aintree. I'm going to be very, very boring here and I'm just going to go and pick Sergino favourite 5-4. If you've got him at 11-8, I think that's a brilliant price. Obviously, not running at Cheltenham because of the troubles that Nicky Henderson has had of late. Very disappointing to see a lot of these. We always shit on Nicky Henderson, but I do really like him as a trainer. When he gets him running, he gets him running good. And if Sugino is, I think, 80% fit, I think he still wins. But then obviously, if he's 80% fit, he's not running. So... He'll only be running if he is 110%. And I think he's just far too good for the likes of Cargis, who have actually backed for the Mares.
Cheltenham.
For Cheltenham next year. You've got the likes of Nürburgring there. It's hard to make of that Cheltenham Festival performance. I didn't think...
Stayed on
quite well. Wasn't as impressive as what I thought it was going to be.
I backed him, you see, at Cheltenham.
We were faking him that day.
I wasn't disappointed.
No, I weren't, but I expected a bit more.
He stayed on. He looked in big trouble and he did stay on. I'll be quite happy with that, to be honest. But to get on to mine, I also think pretty similar to you, to be honest. I think Sergino freshened up now from missing Cheltenham. I think he's going to be pretty solid, to be honest.
Yeah.
But looking away from the top of the market, I would have another one at Nürburgring.
Yeah.
That fourth and the triumph wouldn't put me off at all.
Mm.
But you got to give, I feel, and it's a bit out of character for me to do this, but I also think you got to give Bunton another chance.
I was just about to say
on
that.
Proper heavy ground.
Yeah.
Because although the Cheltenham going said heavy...
It wasn't heavy, was it?
I don't think it actually was heavy.
No, it wasn't. A lot of people, there's been a whole thing about that. I think we've discussed it.
And the fact that Absurd won on the same day would just tell you...
It went heavy.
That wasn't heavy. So, yeah, I think... We're trying to give you a few plays here because we don't know the exact runners and riders, but... Yeah, I'd give Bunton another chance. If we had another week of rain, that would be right up his street.
I'm going to tell you another horse that I actually quite like as well. I really like Stormheart. Really like Stormheart in this race. I think race at Cheltenham, correct? Race at Cheltenham. Maybe too heavy for his liking. What race was this? I can't actually remember. It's just coming to me. The Triumph, where Marsborough, Cargis, that same race. Beaten well, obviously just behind Nürburgring there, but you got to give him a chance on the softer sort of ground. Obviously, it was saying heavy. It weren't heavy. I'm really, for this one, I'm hoping the ground dries out a little bit because I want to see this horse on good, soft, good ground. Maybe that's a pipe dream I'm just thinking of, but I think there's going to be a massive day for this horse and I think hopefully it will be at Aintree. Again, I really like Bunting as well. I was going to mention that one as well as Sergino. Obviously, you've got to give the likes of Cargis a load of respect. As well as the likes of Carlo Conti as well, is a really nice filly. But that's pretty much my mentions on that race.
Yeah, we're just going to move it away for a second. There's been a bit of news that's just popped up.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, today we all know Ile France bombed out massively.
Oh, God.
Big upset.
I forgot to talk about that as well, yeah.
Yeah, and a bit of news has come out that the jockey and trainer both think it's a bit more than just lack of race fitness and background. So, yeah, he said he had a bit of trouble jumping the last. So
he still jumped it. I don't know how he jumped it, but he still did.
So the thing that there's going to be something amiss, basically, and he's happy enough to just see out the race. That just tells you what you need to know, doesn't it?
Yeah, weren't himself. Didn't look right at all. I don't know. Obviously, even the jockey and trainer can't explain how.
Happened? He said he was really happy until the last bend and he felt it was empty really quickly. There's nothing left. He said he was going to pull up, but he popped the last and he was walking. So
maybe it was a good thing to go for, not go for the Gold Cup.
They're going to run loads of tests. I'm just skimming through this now. I'm telling you, it's come up. Bad breaking news. They're going to do the usual, run a load of tests, determine whether they're going to be going for the French Gold Cup effectively. So I think we're going to know within the next week whether they have to basically not run the French Gold Cup, which, yeah. So the tries were different. We're covering up in mind for next race. I think they're basically just talking about it, and they're going to do a lot of tests, and there's every chance you won't go for the French Gold Cup now, which
disappointing.
You would assume that would focus your attentions on just coming to Britain. No, because the British trained, British owned, and that was always the plan. So
yeah, maybe they've had to skip the plans until.
And rightly so, because the only thing keeping them there, let's be honest, is the prize money.
Oh, yeah.
The British people, British trainers. They're, you know, they wanted to come over here anyway. Yeah, and I think they've got a cracking horse there. I've known about him for ages, as we've told before, and yeah, he's got loads of ability. And I think the pricing up at like 20-1 for the Gold Cup next year, that's massive.
Yeah,
huge. I mean, at Kempton, he jumped fence to fence. He's brilliant.
Yeah, flawless. One of the most flawless tries I've ever seen, to be honest. Winning the, I believe it was the King George. Wasn't
yeah.
It?
Yeah, no. It was the Denman.
Yeah, it was the Denman. Sorry, yeah, not the. Not
but anyway, we've got 5 minutes left to cover these races, so let's crack on.
Right, let's go for it then. So we'll go with the Aintree Bowl, which is set up to be one of the best races of the whole weekend if it stays like this. If it goes softer, you won't see the likes conflate the Hewitt, which I'm not going to be giving a mention to. However, I will be giving a mention to Shishkin. 10-3 at this current stage. Everyone knows, if you've heard this podcast long enough, and Connor will know, I don't stop banging on about this horse. Really sad to see that, obviously, with all the Nicky Henderson situation going on. Really sad to see that he didn't run in the Gold Cup. Still relatively fit, obviously, 61 days last run. Obviously coming off that win at, I believe it was Kempton as well? Nope, Newbury, that was it, Newbury. I'm getting them two mixed up all the time. But yeah, Shishkin, I think just the best horse in the race. Obviously, you've got to give the likes of Jerry Colom a load of respect. Still do. 20-1 for the Gold Cup, I'll have you know. As well as I'm actually going to go with an each way of Thunder Rock. Very impressive last time out. You obviously won you that massive accumulator. Under new ownership, apparently.
Doubt it.
Right. Sometimes I click on the racing post and it's in new silks.
I think
and that kind of that always throws me off.
I think they've got someone else involved, and I'm not so.
Yeah, but last time out at Kelso, brilliant, absolutely brilliant on good to soft, which hopefully is going to be the ground at Aintree, won by 7 lengths against the Hughes. So Thunder Rock, I think he's quality enough to keep up with the likes of Shishkin. Corbett's Cross might be a bit outrageous saying that, but. Definitely worth an each way for me, and obviously you've got one of the strongest jockeys in the saddle there, and Sean Bowen knows how to win on him as well. So, who knows?
Yeah, I'm pretty much along the same line as you are. I think Thunder Rock's real good. Be a bit concerned to pull him from the national. Don't know if you think he won't stay.
Probably won't stay that
on the ground. I'm not so certain it, but I never won at a big price for Jungle Boogie. I thought he ran really well in the Gold Cup.
Yeah.
Really, really well. 25-1 here first. If he goes, yeah.
Rachel Blackmore also just turns up at these festivals.
Yeah, cracking prep run. So, yeah, but the obvious one is got to be Jerry Colom.
I wouldn't be too upset about that. You've got to give him respect.
It's the obvious one, isn't it? But you won't see Hewick, I don't think.
No, I don't think you'll see Hewick. I don't think you'll see Conflated either.
Yeah.
Just the ground was one last
year. I think you're going to see Jerry Colom set off at something like 13-8, 11-8.
Yeah, wouldn't be surprising.
Yeah.
Surprising. Definitely one for your accumulators. But if I was going to have a single bet, definitely be Shishkin for me. Try a bit of value.
It's worth mentioning that Ahoy Senor, whenever he turns to Aintree, he's come first or second.
Ooh, interesting. Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Mm.
But that's worth mentioning. He's 16-1 at the minute.
Yeah. I'll give that a little bit of a thing.
And he's definitely a spring horse.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, there's some horses that Corrant Rambler is one of them as well.
He's definitely a spring horse.
Yeah, definitely always seems to turn up in the spring. He's not won for it forever, but like I said, spring horse, knows when to win. And one of my first ever winners as well on the race course. Next race, Aintree Hurdle. Seems like a massive, massive competitive race again. I'm going to obviously give the Rob Corr a lot of respect. Bob Ellinger, Irish Point. It's not my pick. I'm going to go with Impere Pass on this one. Not won in the last three runs, which is quite concerning. Last time was at Punchestown in the Punchestown Festival. Again, definitely a spring horse, this one. I think came third at Leopardstown in the Dublin Race Festival. Came second at Leopardstown in December, and also came second at Fairhouse. Pretty much setting off for very small prices. But if you look at the spring form, first at Punchestown, first at Cheltenham, first at Punchestown. I mean, if you want a spring horse, there's your horse. We know what he's all about as well. Won obviously a Nace in a 24 runner field in 2022, and then obviously that's when Willie Mullins' first run with him, and then obviously won at Nancy, wherever you want to say it, in France on the first race. So yeah, like I said, if you want a spring horse, there's your one. Obviously, I think we'll suit the ground as well perfectly, and won £230 worth of prize money only as a 6-year-old.
Yeah, I'm actually gonna. Oh, I just flicked off the page. But I'm actually...
I don't want to interrupt. This is my time to interrupt you now. But I'm going to go with an each way of Nimi and Line as well. You know how much I like this horse. It may not possibly be better than the likes of Bob Ellinger, Irish Point. But definitely had his fair share of Class 1 wins. Win Canton most recently in February. Again, we talk about spring horse. Won at Kelso. In 2023, and it's I won't even say it's just a spring horse. I think it's just an all rounder. It's won at Hereford 2022, Foss Lass. The wins are few and far between, but you always count him in it. You know what I mean? And obviously, against really tough opposition there in the Champion Hurdle, I believe. Was it Champion Hurdle? Was it in the Champion Hurdle he ran in? Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Well beaten there. But like you said, may have been a bit too soft for him. But then again, he has won on heavy, so you could just probably put that down to against the likes of the opposition. You see up against the likes of State Man there. But yeah, the main line, I wouldn't mind backing each way.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it simple and go Irish Point.
You love this horse.
I think he's the best horse in the race. I think 5-2 is a cracking little price there for him. And I just want to get the better of all of them. Really, I think this is a stay the hurdle horse in the making, and although I know a lot of people think Tiapu will win, he could well do it again, but I just think Irish Point is at least up to his level. So yeah,
like I said, you've got to give the Rokov horses a lot of respect. Bob Ellinger and Irish Point.
This is
course and distance winner as well.
This is a vastly improving 6-year-old Irish Point.
Yeah, you really fancied him for the Champion Hurdle, didn't you?
Yeah, and rightly so, it turned out.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
How much do you think in the Champion Hurdle that you gave too much respect to State Man?
Yeah, I think if State Man had a bit more competition, he'd have been beat. Really do. We are not doing that race. We're skipping the Fox Hunters because we haven't got a clue. It's not really our type of race, is it? I mean, don't get me wrong, I like watching him, but trying to pick a winner is just trying to get blood out of stone, so... not for me, that one. We'll just skip to this 20-5, which is the Redrum handicap chase.
Worth mentioning that this is a handicap. We don't have the we do have the weights actually. So
what we do have the weights.
Don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'll let you go first, mate.
Off you go, mate. You've got yours in front of you.
So this is quite a special race for me. Being with the Elite Racing Club now, we have got a runner in General Medrano, the ride of Tom Bellamy, trained by Emma Lavelle. The legendary trainer who trained Paisley Park. I tell you what, this horse is very, very consistent. First time being involved in owning a racehorse, I would just love to go just to watch this horse. It may not do anything. It may not be up to the standard with the likes of Heltonham, Boot Hill, Samwa, Unexpected Party. It may not be better than these horses. But obviously, you own a racehorse, Connor. You know the feeling of watching your horse just race. And I just love to go and represent the Elite Racing Club and just see what it's about. You know what I mean? Obviously, I've experienced it today. I've experienced it a few times, but being not mine per se, it's not obviously mine. It's obviously spread between loads of different members, but he will feel like my horse. And I'm really excited to see how this one gets on. But I'll probably have a little bit on him. Why not? You got to, but that was my little mention on General Medrano, but I really do like the look of Sam Brewitt. Obviously, you know what Paul Nichols is about. He loves the Aintree Festival more than Cheltenham. Brings all of his horses here. I think he's got a full fleet of them going. It just seems to be getting better after that wind up, I think. Second, only by half a length to a neck last time out. And at 16-1, I think that's a brilliant price for him. Really do. And like I said, he's going to be right down in the weights, but he's definitely better than the 128, 100%, I think. And I'm also going to give a little mention to Heltonham as well, which I think you might do as well. Really, really consistent as of late. Really impressive wins, actually, back to back. So he might go. He's going on for the hat trick, and you'll probably see Harry Skelton riding him definitely. But this again, there's some really nice horses you've got to look at. Oh no, actually, unexpected party will probably be Etalon as well. Do you know what? I actually don't know who Harry Skelton's going to ride in this one. I don't know. I don't think he even knows who's going to ride. But looks like it's set up to be a Dan Skelton plot job yet again, with sending half his horses there. Obviously, you've got Pembroke in that race as well. So he's got plenty of chances to win. But I'm just looking forward to seeing General Medrano race.
I mirror exactly what you say, really. I think Heltonham's got a cracking chance. Dan Skelton probably had this race in mind when he's been sending him through the gears, and he should have really gone to a four-timer now, not a three-timer. And he's probably better than 1.42, and at the weights, he's only 10-12 as well. But
yeah.
Sam Brewitt is, like I say, he's 9-12. He's got every chance. He's
getting better with every ride, I think.
He's taking his time to acclimatise to this country.
And obviously the wind surgery as well.
Yeah, he's definitely his way up for a six-year-old, and he won't mind the ground either. Mm. So I'm probably going to have to go back in on him again for the third time.
Might be becoming quite an expensive horse to follow.
Yeah. No, he will have his day. That's the thing. I'm certain of it. And
yeah,
for Nichols to keep persevering with him and put him in this race, if he does end up showing up at 9-12, I'm going to have a bet on him.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to.
It's hard to not.
Yeah, I'm going to have a bet on him.
Mm.
So, yeah, I pretty much...
You're mirroring what I say.
Yeah, mirroring exactly what you said.
It's quite confident when you say stuff like that. It's, normally we have a bit of debate on an horse, but no, we're in agreement now. I kind of like that one. So we've gone to the last race, which is the Standard Open National Hunt flat race. So this is going to be a bumper. It'd be nice to see Aurora Vega run again. Very nice mare. But I'm going to go with the unbeaten Honky Tonk Highway in this one. 5-1. Again,
really?
not the biggest backer and bumpers, as you know. Obviously, got that winner at Double Race Festival, like I keep going on about. Fun. Nice mare, that. I think that was her last win, to be fair. But I think Honky Tonk Highway's been quite impressive. Raising post rate at 1-2-3.
She's a chaser. Always.
Chaser in the making. Yeah, chaser in the making. And that winner at Sandown.
I didn't expect to win that day, just because of the fact that she
got beat Ruler Buller. I mean, we like Ruler Buller, don't we?
I didn't expect to win at this, just for the fact that I thought she was too big and too much like a chaser, to be honest. But
she'll love the ground, though. Powerful.
She went and did it anyway, but entry's a pretty big track. Do you know what I mean? It can suit her.
Very flat.
I don't really have a... Same with Ollie, I don't really have a tip in this at all. It's interesting to watch Ollie's good bum process go together.
Yeah, exactly. Right, that's the Thursday done. Dare I say nap of the day?
Oh, the ones we've talked about. Sam Brute be pretty high up there if he turned
up. I was just about to say that. And I'll probably give a mention to Colbert's Cross as well.
Yeah, I can see where you're going with that. My next best would probably be something in the first, really. I'm going to go for my next best as Imagine.
Ooh, big price. We love a big price on this podcast.
I'll pair it up with Silent Approach. I look a double thing because of big prices.
Forecast.
Yeah.
I like that. Right, let's get on to Friday. How long has this podcast been?
Yeah, we'll cut it off here and we'll do a separate one.
I just want to have a little break and then we can have a little break. How long have we got the podcast?
Half hour, but I'm saying we'll cut it off here and do a separate one.
Yeah, perfect. Right. Yeah, sorry, I was just kind of zoned out then. So we'll catch you guys in a little bit. So.
All right, we're back in like 10 minutes anyway.
Perfect.
You guys have to end it, you know.
Oh.
He's a different episode.
I'm so tired. Like, subscribe, and do that.